Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. Thanks for joining me again for another episode of this 30-minute broadcast. The purpose of this show is to share with people who are struggling with who they are in Christ and to let them know that that God loves them exactly where they are without any performance-based strings attached. It's not about what they do or you do. It's about what he has done. It's about the finished work. And so I just wanted to do this show because I know so many people are struggling with identity issues, who they are, and who Christ is. And so I wanted people to know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so many today have listened to a partial gospel, a mixed message that Paul calls the different gospel in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, and in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, and 4. And he says it's a perversion of the true gospel of grace. And so the gospel of grace is just that. I just finished writing an article called Insulting Grace, and I'm going to be posting it when I'm done with my show. And it says in Hebrews 10:29 that when we trample underfoot the Son of God and count as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant, we insult the Spirit of grace. Grace is there for us at all times. And in Romans 6, it talks about should we continue to sin that grace may increase? And my answer is yes, we should. Because we either have the choice to sin under grace, or we can sin under the law. Which one would you rather sin under? Grace is there for us to be able to walk in freedom, not on the basis of any kind of thing that we think we can or can't do, but on the basis of what God has already done through Christ. That's what grace is. That's what the true grace message is. Paul said it is for freedom that he made us free. And so I talk about different aspects of that freedom on this show. And I've been speaking about lately, the last couple of shows, I've been talking about the unlimited God, the fact that there are no limitations with him. And today, this is not canned, it's not planned, there's no script. It's the spontaneous Christ in me speaking to the spontaneous Christ in you today. And he says, today if you hear his voice. And so today you're hearing his voice, and it's in the form of Rich Novak. It's coming to you to let you know that in Christ there is no condemnation and you're perfect in him. And today I want to talk about the whole aspect of covenant love. And I look back to two different covenants. The first one was with Abraham, when Abraham was going to make a covenant with God. And Abraham went out to a place, and he was going to, and in the covenant ceremony, you cut up an animal, and you put it out, and you walk through it in the form of a figure eight. And while you're walking through the covenant pieces, you recite the covenant oath, the covenant promises, the covenant blessings, and the covenant curses. And so Abraham was going to make a covenant with God. The only problem with that is covenant is to the death. And there's another covenant I'm going to read about here in a little bit out of my book, the first chapter of my 31-day daily devotional titled Rich in Christ. I'm going to read the day one, which is about another covenant. But Abraham went out to this place to make the covenant with God, and God caused a deep sleep to fall on Abraham. And when Abraham woke up, he saw a burning pot, a bronze pot, going through the pieces on his behalf. And it says over in Revelation 1 that Jesus, his eyes were like flaming fire and his feet were like burnished bronze. That were in an oven, and he saw a smoking oven going through the pieces. And so what Abraham saw was the feet of Jesus Christ going through the pieces, making the covenant with the Father, because the covenant was to the death, and he was the only one that could keep the covenant. And today the covenant is kept by the covenant keeper, Christ, not us. We're not able to keep the covenant because if we fail it in one place, we're worthy of death. And in fact, you'll read in the Bible, it says, lest you be torn to pieces. In the different places where it says that, it's referring back to covenant. If I ever break covenant with you, let me become as this animal that's torn to pieces that I'm walking through right now. So God loved Abraham so much that he caused him to go into a deep sleep. And Jesus Christ, the pre-carnate Christ, walked through the pieces because he was the only one that could keep the covenant with the Father. And that being said, I want to read my book. And the thing I want to read right now, and before I go there, I want you to know that I've been broadcasting in different areas around the United States the last few weeks. And last week I was in California because of my stepdaughter's wedding, and she had a wonderful wedding, and now she's married. And this week I'm in Las Vegas with our covenant partner, ministry partner, Joan Riley. And so as I was sitting here a few minutes before the show, I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And God said, covenant. And partially because of what I'm going to read right now, but the other reason is because of what this lady means to my wife and I and our ministry. And I want to share something about her after I'm done reading this this chapter. But Joan is sitting here right with me right now. We're sitting in the Rampart, Marriott Casino and Resort in Las Vegas. And we're here visiting Joan before we head back to Texas. And we're discussing some ministry issues and what we're spending time with God and just seeking the Lord. Because one of the things we decided to do as a ministry is to give everything away for free. We will not charge for anything. Freely we've received and freely we give. And so we're giving away my book for free to anybody who asks, anybody who gives a valid address worldwide. We will ship my 31-day devotional. This is not a pamphlet. This is not a little mini book. This is a full soft cover book, 200-page, 31-day devotional on the deeper life things of God, and we will ship it to you worldwide, free of charge, postage paid, if you just leave us a valid address and a private message on Facebook. That's at Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. So anyway, I want to read this article out of my book called The Dead Dog. The story of Mephibosheth is a story of tragedy, trial, and deprivation. It is also a story of God's unmerited and unconditional love. This wonderful true story starts out with a covenant made between David and Jonathan. That was the other covenant I wanted to talk about. Jonathan was Saul's son, and David and Jonathan were the closest of friends. So close, in fact, they made a covenant of love with each other. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. 1 Samuel 18:3. I'm no theologian, but my understanding of covenant is it's a solemn agreement between two partners. If you think of the covenant we call marriage, you will understand what I'm trying to convey. The covenant David made with Jonathan was no light agreement. In fact, it is really quite amazing when you closely examine the parts making up their covenant together. In the covenant ceremony, the two parties would take an animal and cut it into four pieces. Each covenant partner then took his turn walking through the pieces of the broken animal. They walked in the form of a figure eight. If you take the number eight and lay it on its side, it's the symbol of for infinity or eternity. While they were walking through the broken pieces, they also recited the terms of the covenant. They recited the covenant blessings, curses, assets and liabilities, and in doing this they were making an eternal agreement with one another that if they ever broke covenant, they would be as the animal pieces they were walking through. This is why you sometimes read the phrase in the Bible, lest you be torn to pieces. It literally means if you ever break this eternal covenant, let this same thing happen to you and me as what has happened to this animal. One of the most amazing things that happens in covenant is the exchange made between the covenant partners. The core of the covenant is when the partners agree to a life exchange. In the covenant between David and Jonathan, the two agreed to a literal exchange of their lives with one another. This meant all of David's assets and liabilities became Jonathan's, and all of Jonathan's assets and liabilities became David's. This is very important, as we will see how this covenant these two made with each other affects us even today. A strange twist in the story of Jonathan and David was Jonathan's father, King Saul. King Saul was jealous of the anointing that David had been given by God. In fact, he was so jealous of David that he hunted him for several years. He finally became so far gone with jealousy and rage towards David that he consulted a witch for advice on how to deal with the issues of his life. This is the danger of a hardened heart. The absolute worst thing that can happen to a human is a hard heart, a double heart, that no longer hears the voice of the Spirit because it's running after other gods. Jonathan and Saul fought and died in the same battle. At that point, David remembered the covenant he had made with Jonathan. And since Jonathan, had died, all of what was now his became David. And everything, including Jonathan's remaining family, became the responsibility of David because of the covenant between him and Jonathan. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodibar." 2 Samuel 9, 1-4. Mephibosheth was the name of Jonathan's son. Here's just a snapshot of Mephibosheth's life. He was hiding from David in Lodibar, lame in both feet, unable to provide for himself, and begging for his food. He had concluded that David had killed both his father and his grandfather, and so he was next. Most people live their lives with the same kind of perception of God as Mephibosheth had towards David. That is, God being a cruel taskmaster, who loves his creation on the one hand, but just doesn't like all of it on the other, especially some of the people he created. A God who stands shaking his head at times over our unchristian behavior and disgusted with us and questioning why he made us in the first place. A God who requires our doing something for him in order for us to receive something from him. This perception of God is a product of the different gospel. This is the not-so-good news of the mixed message of grace and law Paul talks about in his second letter to the Corinthian believers. This diluted message of serving two or more masters is also what Jesus spoke of in his discourse in the Gospel of Matthew. "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, Christ, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Matthew 6:22-24. Or is it possible for us to serve God and anything else? In order to have a vital and living relationship with our God means of his having our whole heart. And this is why many live today estranged from God, because they keep trying to please God by doing something for God. When our eye is double, we see double, meaning more than one. Mephibosheth had such a wrong perception of David that upon approaching him, the first thing he said was, "What is it you want with a dead dog like me?" He had already considered himself dead because he knew, or at least he imagined he knew, that David was coming to kill him. But one thing Mephibosheth didn't know, and that was years before he was even alive, his father Jonathan had made a covenant of love, a covenant which would change the entire course of his life. In this beautiful picture of God's grace, David represents the father who came looking for the sons of the covenant, Mephibosheth, on the basis of the death of the son of the covenant, Jonathan. Jonathan represents Christ, who by his death initiated the search for Mephibosheth and the rest of those who were included in the covenant between Jonathan and David. And Mephibosheth represents humanity. Humanity who simply existed, begging for some kind of spiritual life while calling spiritual barrenness and desolation their home. And this perception of being a dead dog is the same way many still see God today. This is not about unbelievers, those who still remain outside of the covenant of love, but those of us who are the covenant sons and daughters of his unconditional love. On the great exchange, this is where we all see ourselves like Mephibosheth, spiritually lame and unable to walk this walk we call Christianity, and just as unable to jump through all of the religious hoops, the hoops that many have falsely believed make us acceptable to God. We think the same exact way as Mephibosheth because we believe this false message of grace plus. Grace plus our dead dog works of trying and failing as we attempt to develop some kind of relationship with a God we believe most of the time doesn't even like us. This is where we exchange all of our assets and liabilities with Christ. But guess what? He doesn't have any liabilities. In just the same way, we don't have any assets outside of our weakness. So it's in this amazing covenant of love, the covenant between Christ and his Father, where we receive his very life. Through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. It's here where we see how he died our death so we could live his life. He died his death so we could live his life. It's really the truth. As I stated earlier, when Mephibosheth heard David was looking for him, he concluded he was a dead man. But God used the whole situation of living in Lodibar, which means barrenness, to bring him to the absolute end of his own resources and to the place of his own figurative death. In his mind, he was finished. What do you want with me, David? You are king. Why would you bother looking for a dead dog like me other than to kill me? Look at me. I live in barrenness. I can't even walk or take care of myself. I have to beg just to live. This wonderful picture of David is in reality a picture of Christ. God knew if we continued in our way, we would destroy ourselves. He also knew we could never walk the walk of Christianity unless he himself walked it in and through us. In fact, the only one who can live the Christian life is Christ himself. And he does just that as we simply yield to his life within the sole purpose for which we were created. And this hellish teaching, this perception of God as being a cruel taskmaster, is standard teaching throughout many of our churches today. Many don't know the truth. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? 2 Samuel 9, 7 and 8. Mephibosheth didn't hear anything, David just said. Like many believers today who are so inundated with this gospel of crying and failing, Mephibosheth was convinced David wasn't listening. And he was also sure David really wanted nothing to do with him except to kill him. And we, being in Christ, have so much more than Mephibosheth could ever have dreamed of having. Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. Ziba was a picture of the Holy Spirit And everything God says for the Spirit to do, the Spirit does. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all of the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. 2 Samuel 9:9-12. It's the one, the same one whom Mephibosheth knew, who in this moment lives in us as our life. And like Mephibosheth, this one invites us by his wonderful grace to dine at his daily table as one of his chosen sons and daughters. But we can see the same as Mephibosheth, that we too have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the revelation Mephibosheth didn't have alive in us. The king not only lives with us and feeds us at his daily table of rest and peace, but he is the one who lives in us and as us. He is the one who is now both willing and doing of his good pleasure. A dead dog, at one time maybe, but not anymore. That's a picture of covenant love. That's a picture of Christ as our life. That's a picture of us not being able to do anything apart from him. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. What part of nothing is something, church? What is it that you can do? This is why the trials and the tribulations and the suffering and the brokenness and the message of the cross is so vital in your life. It's to take you past that place of limitation. It's to take you to the place where you push unconditional love to its unknown limits, because you place conditions on God's love, and he's got to show you. He's got to show you in the middle of the fire, in the middle of your pain and your suffering, that there are no conditions to grace, that there are no measures to grace. Grace is immeasurable. And this lady sitting next to me is a perfect picture of God's grace. Because 2 years ago, at the end, when I was almost dying in the hospital, when I came out and I was beginning to recover, and Linda and I had no income, and we had no hope of an income, and we had no idea what God was going to do, she wrote me a letter on Facebook and asked if she can contribute $200 to our ministry. I looked at Linda and I said, do we have a ministry? And now we've known each other for 2 years, and we have a covenant of love, Linda, Joan, and I, where we have the same covenant of love that David and Jonathan had for each other. And her sons are our sons, and our kids are her kids, and her assets are our assets, and her debts and liabilities are ours, and vice versa. And we believe that our covenant ministry, Rich in Christ, this little three-stranded cord with a former truck driver and two housewives, is a picture of modern-day ministry, because no man is an island and nobody is able to live the Christian life on their own. And everybody needs encouragement, and that's what we are. We are encouragement to one another. There was a time when David said he encouraged himself in the Lord because everybody abandoned him. All of his men abandoned him, and there was nobody left but him and God. And this is the place God has to take us so we can see unconditional love is unconditional. This is the place God wants to take us so we can know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And this lady sitting next to us, who was born in an incubator in a town that was named after the tuxedo, and who has had wealthy people take care of her from the time that she was born. In fact, the hospital didn't have an incubator until Joan was born, and the rich women of the community purchased it for her. And she has a ministry, and she is an Abigail in her form. Abigail, the lady who ministered to David and his men when her husband said no, and she went there because she was compelled by the Spirit to do what God called her to do, and to follow God rather than men. And this woman has laid her life down, completely laid her life down, when we are privileged to be covenant and ministry partners with her. And today, 2 years later, that $200 has turned into $100,000 plus. And God has blessed Joni, and she has given up, this 70-year-old woman who looks like she's 50, has given up her retirement. She's lost her life to gain Christ. And she is a picture of Mephibosheth. She couldn't walk this walk. And she cried out to God in her brokenness and her loss, and God met her right where she's at. And in 2 years, her entire life has been transformed by the power of the living God, not by the dead letter that kills, but the living Christ. And Linda and I are privileged to have her as our sister and the love of our life, because we know that she is on the same path as we are. She's going down this rabbit hole of in Christ with us, and we are willing to lose everything in order to gain Christ. And there's no turning back. And we are blessed in giving and receiving, because Joni will tell you that what I've shared with her has transformed her life and caused her to be the woman she is. And what she shared with us has caused this ministry to be real, so we can send books to you across the world so your life can be transformed and it doesn't cost you anything. This is the covenant of love that we have with each other. This is real Christianity. This is real life with Rich in Christ. And Rich in Christ is sitting in this room. And it's not about a person named Rich Novick. It's about you, even if you don't know it. You're the one that's Rich in Christ. Religion has lied to you and told you that you have to put your faith in God. Well, God put his faith in you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you can do all things. And in Christ, you are complete. And there's nothing that God cannot do through you if you just release the limitations and you let him do it. This is what we found out, folks. These three people, the base things and the lowly things and the things that are not, God is called to nullify the things that are. And that's who we are. We're the base things. We're weakness personified. And God's power is perfected in our weakness every second of every day. And we are believing God for the exceeding abundance beyond all we can ask, think, or even imagine. And we know that our God is not a man that he should lie. We know who we believe, that he's able to keep that which we have entrusted to him against that day. And that day is today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And this is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And I know there aren't many people listening to this, but somebody's going to tune into this. Somebody's going to tune into this, and they need to know that Christ in them is their only hope of glory. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. This is every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. This is a real program dealing with real issues of life with real Christians who have real problems and want to know a real solution. And we have a book that we're giving away for free. It's called Rich in Christ. To anybody who gives me a private message, anybody who private messages me, Father, bless these people. Open their eyes. Let them see the truth of who you are. We give you the praise and the glory. We thank you. Guys, come back again next week. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. God bless.